Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Johnson from Bethel AG Church. Thank you for downloading our podcast. We are so glad we could connect with you through this podcast. Please ensure you subscribe to receive new messages every week. We pray this podcast builds your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and motivates you to live a life of excellence for the glory of our Lord. Thank you for your support. Enjoy the message.
We've been studying from God's Word on the importance of strengthening our foundations, of strengthening our foundation. Turkey, earthquake, buildings collapsed. The first buildings that collapsed were the ones with the weakest foundation. The stronger the foundation, the longer it can handle the problems. The stronger the foundation, the taller you can build. When the heavy winds blow, most of the trees, they don't fall. Because as tall as the trees are, their roots have gone down into the ground. Our foundations are very important. Many of us, when problems come, the reason we stand strong, we stay in peace, and we don't get our mind affected, we don't lose our mind, we don't become anxious, is because His grace has rooted us in His Word. Foundations are very important. It's the invisible part. This pillar is very tall. At least 18 feet, 20 feet tall pillar. You know how deep is the foundation? Even I don't know, but it is deep. But point is, if it has to stand strong in the visible, there has to be depth in the invisible. A lot of Christian people sometimes make efforts to grow tall in the visible without making efforts to grow deep in the invisible. And when you don't have foundations, you're weak against the problems. Last Sunday, we looked at the importance of prayer and the lifestyle of prayer being one important component of the foundation. And today, I want to learn from God's Word and God's Word being an important part of our foundation. We must have our roots entangled with God's Word as the foundation. Because Bible is the foundation that produces faith in us. Our faith should come from the Word of God, which produces our character. Our character comes from our belief system. Mahatma Gandhiji, the founder of our nation, one of the founding fathers, what is the reason he believed in nonviolence? Why is it that he did not talk about using bombs and guns against the British, which was not a very bad idea, but why is it he said, no, we will go for nonviolence? The Britishers were using violence. They were doing bloodshed. They were killing innocent, unarmed Indians. But why did Gandhiji say, no, we'll not take that path? Why? Because his belief system within him produced a character on the outside. All of us, when tests come, when trouble come, what comes out is the actual character in us. If you take a glass and keep it straight, you will not really know the taste of what is in it. But if you shake it a little, what is inside will bubble out and you will know the taste. Then it may not have looked like lime juice, but that lime taste will be there. It may not have looked like orange juice, but that citric taste will be there. It can look, however, these days you get all kinds of flavors and different colors. What looks like chocolate might be actually having the flavor of vanilla. Looks are deceptive. But taste will tell you what it really is. Similarly, if our foundations are not right, our character will reveal that. Our character will reveal what our faith is built on. That's why it's very important that you not only read the Bible every day. Please read the Bible every day. But that's not enough. We must hear the Bible every day. And what's the difference? We read the Bible with our eyes. Physically, of course, you have to see the Bible. You have to open the Bible. You see it with your eyes. And many Christians make the mistake. They think, because I see the Bible with my eyes, maybe God will speak in my ear. A lot of times, God will not speak in your ear like a human voice. A lot of times, you read the Bible with your eyes, but you hear the Lord in your spirit. And you need to take time for that. Just because our sense faculty of vision helped us read, please don't restrict God to speak into another faculty of hearing of the ear, but let Him speak even in the spirit. And this distinction is so important. It helps us to distinguish between what Bible says and what the social dogma says. Dogmas are different from doctrines. Christian tradition can say one thing, God's word can say another thing. A lot of times Christian people make the mistake of following what the tradition says and thinking that God has to reward me because I followed Christian tradition. If Christian tradition is what you followed, God says, let Christian society reward you. If you followed God's word, God says, I will reward you for that. A lot of times there is a distinction and we are not even aware of the difference. We just follow Christianity assuming it's God's word. No, read God's word, hear God speak, build our faith on God's holy word. One of the difficulties that I feel Christians have is when they come to Christ, they don't know what to change because they think they are already following Christ. But when non-Christians come to Christ, they read the Bible and they make changes knowing that, yeah, of course, I come from a different background, so I need to know what God wants from me. And so it's easier for them to change because they understand change is necessary for them. But Christian people deceive themselves by thinking, oh, I'm born a Christian, so I know what it is. And they confuse Christian traditions with God's word. No, dogmas are human. Doctrines are divine, and God wants you to obey His word and not equate it with the dogmas of the society. Some Christian people make the mistake of thinking Bible is a book of inspiration. No, Bible is not a book of inspiration. It is a book of transformation because God's word is alive. In the Bible, there are all kinds of characters. When you build your foundation, you should understand in the Bible, all kinds of characters are there, starting with Adam, first character. One thing I like about Adam, he went through the biggest destruction in life because he listened to his wife. Now, I'm not saying that if you listen to your wife, you'll have destruction. Now, don't take wrong idea from it. I'm just saying in Adam's life, that is what happened. Adam listened to his wife and went through destruction. But still, after living with her for 900 years, he's one fellow who never broke his marriage or ran behind any other lady. Give it up to Adam, I tell you, man. But people say things like, oh, David had many wives. No, even I can have. No. Oh, Solomon used to smoke. Can't I smoke? There are characters in the Bible. You learn from their life. But when it comes to following, follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. Oh, Noah was a great prophet. He built the ark, but he drank alcohol. No, you don't follow Noah. You follow Jesus. You want to become like Jesus. You don't want to become like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob, I can't tell the story. Many of these Bible characters are so terrible in their character. Can't call it character also. It's not character. It's actually lack of character. Loved one, married another, had children with all the maids in the house. Oof, and that baby is crying. You know, so when you read stories in the Bible, please don't become like them. Learn from them and become like Jesus. God's word is given for a reason. Amen. Follow Jesus, worship Jesus. And whenever you feel God is speaking to you from one portion of the Bible, make sure that you understand the scripture and follow that portion of the Bible in a way that it does not offend other parts of the Bible. There are some people who follow one part of the Bible and then break every other part of the Bible. Because God spoke from this part of the Bible, they use it as a license to, especially young people, when they get excited about God's word, then they disrespect everybody else. They say, no, I am ready to live for Jesus. Correct, yeah. You live for Jesus, you follow God's word, but do it in a way where other parts of the Bible are also followed in your life. I'll give you a classic example. One day the Lord Jesus, teaching in the Gospel of Matthew, he said, it is better to cut your hand and throw it off if your hand is causing you to sin than to go to hell with both your hands. It is better to go to heaven with one hand. Correct. Now, anybody cut their hand and come? No. That's not because all our hands are righteous, but because we understand what the Lord was saying, there was not cut your hand. He was not saying every year you should have a hand-cutting ceremony in the church. No. What he was saying is that you should understand the importance of controlling your hands as instruments of righteousness, that instead of going to hell with both your hands, you'd rather control it and feel you have only one hand and go to heaven while you're on the earth. Live as if you were helpless, not a problem. That's the meaning. Why? Because the Bible also says in the book of Corinthians, don't you know you are the temples of the Holy Spirit? Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Anybody who destroys the body, which is the temple of God, God will destroy that. So when you take one portion of the Bible, you should use it in such a way, understand it in such a way that it agrees with other portions of the Bible. Some people pick up one verse saying, now I won't marry. Another will take another portion and say, I will marry one more time. Listen. Whatever portion God spoke, one lady in our church used to fight with me. God told me my son should get divorced from this lady and marry another lady. I told her, lady, God is not speaking. No, Holy Spirit told me. I said, Holy Spirit cannot go opposite to what is revealed in the Bible. And that poor daughter-in-law who comes from a non-Christian family is crying, saying, Pastor, I'm ready to change. I left, I gave up everything. I got baptized. I'm ready. Maybe I made mistakes. It's not like they are very holy people anyway, but I am ready to change. I've given up everything. Now, I just want to build my marriage. And here, that boy is also somewhat okay. But boy's mother, other lady. God spoke, other lady. I told that sister, you please stop this. I don't believe you have Holy Spirit in you. I really feel you have devil in you. I told her. I mean, I told in a nice way. She understood what I was saying. She felt bad. She left the church after some time. She hung around for some time. They came to me saying, you should come and conduct the marriage. They went for a divorce. Then they said, you should come and conduct the marriage with the new lady. I said, no, I won't. I won't come. Then the boy called me saying, Pastor, you know, you only baptized me. You're such a nice person. I told him, see, I cannot support what is wrong. You know, especially in this case where your first wife was genuinely willing to change, work the marriage out. I mean, why did you? No, God spoke to my mother. That's not God. Had I rebuked it, that voice would never come back. It's not God. Then they found another pastor from Bombay. Because the another thing is, you give a good offering, you will get dime a dozen pastors. Just because you buy a pastor doesn't mean God's blessing will be there. Then this lady got angry with me and she said, no one treats me like this. I told her, yeah, that's all right. But I cannot support things which are against the word of God. Just because, don't take one scripture or God's name or some prophet's word against the word of God. Follow God's word. Honor God's word. You know, that is what is important. Now, if somebody had a breakdown in their marriage, that's a separate issue. But don't use God's name to break the marriage. That is really not from God. That is in all wrong things. Even to take money, people use God's name. God told me to ask you, hey. No, God sent Elijah to the widow's house. No, correct. God did, Elijah didn't go and say, lady, give me your oil. He said, multiply the oil right now. In her vessel, in her house, oil multiplied. You go. If God sent you, let the money multiply in their almara. Then you take one portion, no problem. Don't use God's name, God's word in a wrong way. Always when you obey one part of the Bible, it should flow along with other parts of the Bible. And in the Bible, there are no unnecessary details. Every detail in the Bible is important. Bible is not a book of history, but there are some histories given in the Bible because everything given in the Bible is towards Christ, is having some relevance towards Jesus. Any story that has no relevance towards Christ is not there in the scripture. Every story in the Bible, everything, even parts of history, are all in some way connected and has resemblance, relevance, has some sort of a direction towards Christ our Lord. Y'all are getting serious. I'll tell you one joke. Three boys were standing in one village, Christian village, and they were arguing because they got a puppy, some stray puppy, dog was going. This small fellow caught it. Then the other fellow said, hey, I saw the puppy first, so it belongs to me. The second fellow said, I called the puppy first. That's why we could catch it. So it belongs to me. They started arguing. Then they were arguing and one pastor was walking, preacher was walking that way. And he saw these three boys holding, one fellow is holding the puppy and these three boys are arguing on the roadside. So the preacher went to those boys and said, what's this argument about? What's the discussion? So youngest fellow holding the puppy said, we are having an argument because all three of us want the puppy. We found it on the road. And we have decided to have a competition. Whoever says the biggest lie, whoever is the best liar will get the dog, will get the puppy. Pastor got worked up and he pulled out his sermon and said, the virtues of honesty are greater than the big problem of dishonesty. How liars will go to hell. And pastor just scolded them. And concluded by saying, when I was your age, I never lied. The little boy who was holding the puppy gave the puppy to the pastor and told his friends he won the competition. You cannot believe man's word or equate it with God's word. God's word is perfect. God's word is established forever. Man's word changes. God's word does not. Hallelujah. Some of you are sitting like as if you were that pastor who went with the puppy. Church is a place where we also should learn to laugh and enjoy. Some people come to church, they get all their religious mask on. Then they are like, you know, having some gastric problem or something. Fully. Learn to enjoy in God's presence. When you don't enjoy in God's presence only, you want movies and dance clubs and other kind of pleasures to enjoy. Learn to laugh your heart out in God's presence, in the presence of your Heavenly Father. This is so important. If you don't dance before God, your children will look for some other place to dance. Then don't blame them. It's because you forgot to dance your celebration before Jesus. These are realities. These are facts. So, God's word is different from human word. Let's read one scripture, Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. And Jesus replied, it has been written, shall we read? Man shall not live and be upheld and be sustained by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Obvious question, I mean, can people live without bread just by hearing the Bible? That's the meaning of what Jesus said. So let's look at what the Lord said. He was fasting for 40 days after baptism. And the devil comes to him to tempt him. Whenever God tests you, it is to give you success. Whenever the devil tests you, it is to make you a failure. So the devil comes to test him and make him a failure. And the devil tells him, turn, you are the Son of God. You are the great God who's become human. Turn this bread, turn this stone into bread. And eat it. You're hungry, no? Actually, Jesus was hungry after 40 days. You know, temptation always comes in the area of your weakness. People who drink alcohol, their temptation will be alcohol. People who have a temptation of watching pornography, correctly for you, computer, internet, and loneliness will come together. Devil will tempt you in your area of weakness, in your area of hunger. What are you hungry for? That is where the devil will come to tempt you. Devil will never tempt you in areas that you don't like. He will always tempt you in areas that you are trying to be better. That's where he tries to confuse you and make you a failure. Jesus was hungry, and the devil says, turn the stone into bread and eat it. And Jesus said, no, man shall not. First of all, when you're trying to come close to God, sometimes devil will also come in between. Please don't think, oh my God, I'm trying to come close to you. Why devil is coming to me? Is God angry with me? No. When you try to grow close to God, sometimes the devil will come to you. That does not mean your prayer is wrong. That does not mean you are not holy. That does not mean something is wrong with you. It only means that the devil is jobless. This is devil. Devil's character is like that. You just don't look for the devil, nor run away from the devil. You keep walking in your walk of faith, and the Lord will give you great victory in your life. Amen. Pastor, I'm really praying, I'm really seeking God. Then why in my life devil is coming like this? Hey, when you walk in the right path, sometimes the devil will come to defeat you, to deceive you, to distract you. That is allowed. There is no fun in the game unless there is a goal to win. Why people take exams seriously? Because otherwise they'll fail. If there is no failure, who will write exams? So sometimes when the devil comes, you know, don't get scared. Don't misunderstand thinking, oh, I'm in the wrong direction. That's why devil is there. No, no, no. You walk in the will of God. The Lord Jesus answered the devil and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread. What was Jesus trying to say? The Lord was quoting from an Old Testament passage. He was taking from the scripture in Deuteronomy. Let's read Deuteronomy and chapter 8, verse 3. And God humbled you and allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you recognize and personally know that man shall not live by, but man lives by every word that proceeds. Now the next verse is very important. Verse 4. Your clothing did not become old upon you, nor did your feet swell. What is the context here? The Lord brought Israel out of Egypt from bondage. 400 years they were slaves. After 430 years of being in Egypt, God brought them out with an outstretched arm through a series of miracles that may have lasted for about 6 months. 10 plagues would have taken about 6 months to happen, or maybe 4 months to happen. And they came to the Red Sea. They crossed the Red Sea, and they're walking in the wilderness, in the desert of Arabia for about 40 years. To reach the promised land, Israel, the congregation of Israel is walking towards the land of Israel. And they started murmuring. They became hungry. Same, Jesus was also hungry. Israel also became hungry. They started murmuring. There's a difference between prayer and murmuring. What is prayer? Believing God, saying, Heavenly Father, I need this. I know you will provide. That's prayer. What is murmuring? I need this. When you will provide? How you will provide? I doubt if you can provide. That's called murmuring. Some people, when they sing songs, it is not singing, it is murmuring. When they say hallelujah, it's not hallelujah, it's hallelujah. Murmuring. No faith, no passion. God rewards prayer, punishes murmuring. Don't murmur before God. When you speak, say it joyfully with faith. Say it with absolute truth. These people murmured, saying, where is food? We want food to eat. Then God sent them manna in the morning and quail in the evening. Quail is a smaller bird than chicken and flies low. That would come in the evening, they would eat. And morning they got manna. What is manna? The meaning of manna is, what is it? What is it? What happened next day morning? God put manna from the sky, and when they opened the door of their house, they saw manna, and they started asking each other, "What is it? What is it?" That is the meaning of the word manna. What is it? They asked each other, "What is it?" That is how that word came, manna. Manna in Hebrew means "What is it?" One neighbor asked, "Hey, what is it?" The other one asked, "Did you also get what is it? You ate what is it? What is it? Because what is it? What is it?" Like WhatsApp. It's become an app now, WhatsApp. So like that, in Hebrew, manna means what is it? They didn't know what it is. They had no clue what it is. What is it became their diet for 40 years. Now, next verse says, "But your clothes did not wear out and your feet did not have blisters." What is God saying there in the book of Deuteronomy? Fellows, you only thought about food and I supplied food. But you did not ask about clothes. You did not ask about shoes. But 40 years, your clothes never became old. As the child was growing, cloth was growing on the child. As you walked with your bare feet, it did not have swelling or blisters. I healed your feet even before it could become sick. Not because you asked, but my word sustained you. My word protected you. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus, our Lord, was answering the devil, saying, "Devil, I will not use my power to be inspired by you to do what you want me to do. But I, as the Son of God, will listen to the voice of my Father and understand how He wants to sustain me. If He wants me to turn the stones into bread, I'll do it. But if He wants to sustain me in the hunger by His grace, I'll go without food and be sustained by His grace. I'll do it the way He wants me to do it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes." Oh, give God a mighty hand, people. This is so important. Hallelujah. Tiring on the physical body. 40 years, fellows are walking in the wilderness, some of them without shoes. Tell me how they will feel. And you never know when the Shekinah glory will lift up and go. Immediately you have to unpack and walk. Or pack and walk. And whenever it stops, you have to unpack and stay there. There are people watching for Shekinah on night duty, on day duty. Why? Because whenever the thing lifts and goes, people have to follow. And God is saying, "Did you people ask me to protect your feet? Did you people ask me for new clothes? But I, my word took care of you. And I taught you, man shall not live by bread alone, but my word is enough to sustain you. It will create the miracle." Hallelujah. When you misunderstand the Bible, you will ask wrong questions. And when you ask wrong questions, obviously you will get wrong answers. And instead of understanding the Bible and being blessed, misunderstanding leads to wrong directions. That's why we should understand the scripture for what it says. Don't use traditional glasses. Don't use glasses of prejudice. Don't use glasses of questioning. Use glasses of faith. That's when you understand the scripture. If you want to understand an English book, you should first understand English language. If you want to understand a Sanskrit book, you should first understand Sanskrit language. If you want to understand Holy Bible, you must understand faith language. Because it's written by the Spirit of God. For a believer, for a doubter, everything will be confusion. That's why fellows go to study theology in Bible colleges like United Theological College, Serampore. I have gone there. They are good people, but I'm telling you the truth. And they come out saying, "Oh, Jesus is not God." Why? Because fellows have been reading the Bible with the wrong glasses. You cannot understand the scripture unless you are filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why all these New Age gurus will read the Bible and come out more confused and use it for their management techniques and lose out on salvation. Same Holy Bible that built democracy in other countries builds confusion elsewhere. Why? Because to understand the scripture, you must have a spirit of submission and faith. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide us. Abraham Lincoln, the president of America, read the Bible and felt that slavery was wrong according to the Bible. He said, slavery is wrong. Other fellows read the same Bible and said, slavery is correct. Why? Because one fellow read it through the Spirit of God, through faith, and he understood what God was saying. Other fellows read it for what it says in English and get confused. Read it in a sense of obedience. Read it in a sense of faith and allow the Spirit of God to speak to you. That's when you will walk in real revelation of God's word. It's very easy, actually. It's not difficult at all. And God's word comes in different ways at different times. Let's read the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verse 10. The rain and the snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the... The next verse is so powerful. Let's read it. It is the same with my word. I send it out and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want. I love it. It will accomplish all I want. And it will prosper everywhere I send it. Hallelujah. God's word is not a one-time textbook that you read. Oh, fifth standard, I passed. Now, why this textbook? Throw it. I want new textbook. Bible is not like that. Bible is not like Van Gogh or Da Vinci book, which are anyway useless. The Bible is not like a novel that you read once and throw it. Bible is a tool that you use again and again. It's a tool that shapes you. You use it multiple times without any problem. God is comparing Bible to water, snow and rain. Anybody here who had a wash yesterday in water and for a change today, how long I'll bathe in water, let me use petrol for a change. No, because water is a tool. No matter how many times you use it, it still works the next time. Bible is a tool. Oh, I read that portion earlier. Hey, read it again. God has something new to tell you. Why? It's a tool. It's a tool. And God is saying, my word comes like snow and sometimes like rain. In India, we have three seasons, no? Summer, winter, and rain. Three seasons in South. And sometimes they come throughout the year. Like it takes a whole 12 months for three seasons to change. But in Bangalore, sometimes it happens in one day only. Morning it is rain, afternoon it is really sunshine, and evening suddenly it is cold. It can happen in one day. Bangalore is the most close to heaven. God says, my word is like the snow. My word is like the rain. These are two different in application. Rain is sometimes so strong. Those days when I used to use a motorbike to travel preaching in different meetings, I used to preach in every prayer group of the church. I used to conduct Bible studies in different places. So I had a bike. I loved the bike so much. And there were times I created prayer meetings just to drive the bike. What a silly fellow I was. But anyway, God blessed all of it. And sometimes it rains. So I used to have a raincoat. I used to have an extra pair of clothes with me because, you know, wherever I'm going on the way, if it rains, then I want to be there on time, get into that house, get into the, restroom and just change into dry clothes. So I was like full package during rainy season. And I also had an inhaler in my pocket because I had breathing issues. Now, those days. So what happened... Sometimes when I'm riding the bike and the heavy rain comes, you know, I have to stop because the raindrops are so heavy, it literally hurts your skin. It's like someone poking you, you know, it's so hard. Sometimes rain is so strong. Sometimes the snow, it comes so soft. I was in Kashmir with my wife and I was waiting to catch the snow. It's coming down so slow, like answers to prayers, you know. Come fast. Come so slow. And you're waiting for it to just touch. So slow. You won't even know it's on you. I got into the room. My room was very warm because of the heater. And my wife says, please dust your jacket off all the snow. Don't bring your jacket in because I didn't notice my jacket shoulders and back was full of snow. I didn't notice that because it came and sat so softly. I didn't realize. Her point was right, of course, you know. You bring it into the room, all the snow will melt and every dress will become wet. And we can't even dry it in this weather, so please take it out. Dust it and bring it in. Sometimes God's word is like that. Some people say, what he preached today? Correct, they didn't understand because it came so soft. You come anyway, next Sunday also you come. You don't realize, but it is coming on you very softly and sitting on you. Hallelujah. After 6 months, after 1 year, some friends are telling you, how come you are changing? What? Some change is there. You don't realize, but Sunday after Sunday, his word is coming and settling on you. It's changing you. It's transformed. Oh, somebody give the Lord a mighty hand. Somebody else, they get upset. Sometimes I get emails. Today you are hitting me only. How come you know my story? One lady told me, first time in my life I came to Bangalore. I attended your church because I saw it on the Google. I wanted to go to some church. I came to your church. From the time you came to preach till the end, you were hitting me. I told her, sister, I was not hitting you. Her point was I was speaking harshly to her. I said, I don't know you. She said, that is correct, but you know. I said, I don't know. She said, yes, I know that you don't know, but you don't know that you know me. I said, no, I don't know. She said, but everything you said, I'm feeling hurt. Some people feel like it's a mighty rain. He's hitting me. I don't know, but God knows what you need. God knows what in it. Whether his word comes like a rain or it comes like snow. One thing is for sure, it will produce fruit. It will produce fruit. It will produce in the name of Jesus. It will produce fruit. Pastor, my family don't believe in Jesus. It will produce fruit in that family. Pastor, I'm living in a university where I don't understand what I'm saying. Over there, in that university, his word will produce fruit in your wisdom. I can't work. My colleagues are against me. The system, hey, in that place, God's word will produce fruit in your life. If there's one thing God is saying, my word will not come back empty. It will. Oh, I feel it in my bones. In the name of Jesus, there is no enemy, there is no devil, there is no power of evil, there is nothing. If there is a believing heart, there is a God who will fulfill his word in their life. God who looked at nothing and said, let there be, and formed the heavens and the earth. God who looked at nothing and said, let there be, and formed the stars in the sky and the Milky Ways in the galaxies. God who looks at nothing and spoke it into existence. In your life, he can speak and create things. That's the God we serve. Hey, that's the God of the Bible. Amen. Snow and rain are one season, but fruitfulness will sometimes be another season. The thing is, sometimes when we get God's word, we feel, oh, right now miracle will happen. Sometimes that fruit, that miracle, that blessing will come only in the next season. Don't get disappointed. Don't get upset. And sometimes in the rainy season, so much rain, so much snow. But in that season, nothing is growing. Fruit comes in the summer. When there is no rain. God's word and fruitfulness will have a time gap sometimes. Stay full of faith in that time gap. Remember that his word will bear fruit. All I have to do is keep my heart fertile in humility, in faith. Hallelujah. And God is saying, my word will not only give bread to the hungry, but it'll give seed to the sower. These are two dimensions. Some people want God's word for right now miracle. God says for your hunger, it'll be there. But sometimes God says, I'll give you word for the strategy of the future. My word will guide you into how you should handle your future. It's a seed to the sower. God's word will show you where to invest, how to handle your life, with whom to hang around. for those who are willing to listen. He has a habit of giving to those who know how to handle it. Hallelujah. I love this. God's word will never go in vain. Let your foundation be built on God's word. Amen. Amen. The four things about God's word. Number one, it's creative. Number two, it's revealing. Number three, it's sustaining. And number four, it's fulfilling. Let's say that together. Number one, it's creative. Creative means God's word can do healings, miracles. It creates. Second, it's revealing. Let's say that together. It is? Revealing means it's got a way of exposing what you need to know and guide you in his wisdom. Number three, it's sustaining. Shall we say that together? It is? God's word has a way of sustaining you through. In fact, the Bible says he hangs everything on his word. He can sustain you. He can take you through. Instead of giving you the miracle of a bread during your hunger, he can, in your hunger, give you strength to keep moving without the bread. He's got a way of sustaining you. And fourth, God's word has a nature of, let's say it together, fulfilling. It's got a self-fulfilling ability. In every believing heart, God's word will be fulfilled. It will fulfill. What is the greatest commandment in the Bible? Love the Lord. Super. You all know the Bible. God says the greatest commandment is what? Let's read that. It's there in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 22. And Jesus said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with. Right? How do you love the Lord with all your heart? All your soul? All your mind. Now, how to do that? See, to check our temperature, there is something called thermometer. Correct, no? To check our pressure, there is something called pressure meter, no? Blood pressure meter. And to check the ambient pressure, there is something called barometer. To check altitude, there is altitude meter. To check love, what is the meter? There is a meter. This doesn't work for Valentine. This is only for God. Agape love, not Valentine love. This is only for agape love, divine love. There is a meter. Let's read. It says in the book of John chapter 14 verse 15, if you love me, the proof of your love for God is the obedience to his word. How you obey his word is the proof of how much you love God. How long we pray, how loud we shout, how beautifully we sing are all wonderful. But the proof of our love for God is how we obey his word. How you obey the tradition is your love for tradition. How you obey God is your love for God. Am I helping anybody? That's nice. How do we express our love for God? You expressed your love for your mother by buying her that bag she wanted, for your wife for buying everything she wanted, and your husband for, you expressed your love cooking all he wanted. How do you express your love for God? By obeying. And to obey, you have to trust. You can't obey if you don't trust. Faith produces character. Belief produces behavior. I'll say this and I'll close. You all enjoyed God's word today? Our foundation should be built on God's word. Many years ago, I was staying in a rented house in Sanjaynagar. And Joshua, our son, he was maybe 1.5 years old, 2 years old, I think somewhere around there. And I had just come home after something, and my wife gave me a mug of coffee in a cup that I just love that cup that time. Interesting, I don't even remember how that cup looked, but I love that cup, that ceramic, that china, I just loved it. I don't know why, I just loved it. Anything I drink in that was nice. So like that, I like that. And my wife knew that, so you know, she would give me coffee in that. And I was standing with that coffee cup that I love so much. My son, he was standing on the table. At that age, it's okay, right? So he was standing on the table. I don't know why, I was standing like that. He somehow felt I'm inviting him to jump and I'll hold him. Misunderstanding. Happens in pastor's house also. Sometimes people think, no, if you're really anointed and holy, there won't be misunderstanding. Wherever there is understanding, there will be a female called misunderstanding. This is just to make the men happy. Last week they were little. Okay, this is a cheap joke, but anyway. Sometimes I wonder how I get away with all this. So what happened, this fellow, with the corner of my eye could see, he was just going to jump, and he jumped. To this day, I don't remember, did I drop the cup, did I throw the cup, who cares? I love the cup until then. But the moment I saw my son jumping, the cup was nothing. His faith in me that his dad will get him, will catch him, will uphold him, I couldn't let that trust down. I don't know whatever happened. I remember holding this fellow and placing him down carefully. If we earthly parents know how to take care of our kids, how much more our Heavenly Father? How much more? But don't jump because the devil inspired you. Don't jump because you wanted to test God's word. Then you will break your legs and pastor will have to come and pray. Don't jump because someone misguided you. But in case there is a fall, his word will sustain you. In case there is a fall, he is faithful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our God is a faithful God. The proof that we love God, which is the greatest commandment, is that we obey His holy word. It doesn't matter what it is. We want to obey His word in a way that is meaningful. That's why we love, but with wisdom. We forgive others with wisdom. We want to care for others with wisdom. Shall we close our eyes and say, Father, You spoke to me today. I want my foundations to be built on Your word. Forgive me, Lord. Maybe I have placed Your word alongside other inspirational gurus and their books. I'm sorry. I understand Your word has eternal life. It's not just about inspiration. It is Your spirit in Your word. I want to honor Your word, O God. I'm sorry if I treated Your word as secondary. No, Lord, I want to treat Your word as primary. Deep in my heart, I want my roots to be entangled with Your word. I want my foundations to be built on the understanding of Your word. Oh, sweet Holy Spirit, protect me. Anoint me today. Wherever we are seated or standing, shall we all pray out to God saying, Father, I really want my life to be built on Your word, on Your word, on Your word, on Your word, on Your promises, on the covenant You have made. You are able to fulfill Your word. I thank You, Lord. Let me not approach Your word with doubts and questions, but let me approach Your word with all the questions and all the fears I may have. Let me approach Your word for answers with faith, with a sense of submission, with a sense of love. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, this beautiful day, we thank You for speaking to us, bringing light to our path. Your word is established in the heavens forever. We understand that. Heaven and earth may pass away, Your word will never pass away. We thank You for that truth. And today we love You, Lord. You are right. You are righteous. You are holy. May Your will be done in our lives. May our foundations be strengthened by hearing of Your word. Oh, Your Holy Spirit, speak to us as we read and dedicate our lives to understand Your scripture on a daily basis. In Jesus' holy name we pray, and the people said, Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to today's message. I believe that you are blessed. Please connect with us for prayer or counseling. Please do call us or visit our website or visit us The details are given in the description. We'll be glad to serve you. Do subscribe so you can receive the latest podcast to encourage you in your journey in Christ. Please do share it with your friends too by clicking the share button. We are praying for you. God has great plans for your life. Thanks again for participating, listening. God bless you.